Welcome to Carnivores Don't Get Sunburn, hosted by Carrie Mann. Dive into the extraordinary journey of rediscovering optimal health through the carnivore diet. Here, we share powerful transformations from reversing chronic illnesses to achieving peak human potential. Each episode, we'll explore the real stories of those who've turned their lives around, embracing a diet that's as natural as the sun. Stay tuned as we uncover the science, the success stories, and the secrets to thriving on this ancestral diet. Plus, don't miss our exciting documentary highlights featuring a diverse range of carnivore champions. Ready to challenge the conventional? Let's get started.
They're already eating plant-based.
Right.
And that's what's causing the problem.
My entire life, I've been told that meat is unhealthy and dangerous. For the last 330 days or so, I've eaten nothing but meat, beef, butter, bacon, eggs on the carnivore diet, and it's changed my life forever. I'm down over 100 pounds since my heaviest, but most importantly, I've overcome clinical depression and anxiety, also overcame sleep apnea, arthritis, IBS, all sorts of other issues. And it begs the question, after I've talked to so many experts, are vegetables and plants negligible at best or possibly dangerous at worst? The point of this video is to try to get to the bottom of that and try to get to the truth. Because my entire life, I was told meat was going to kill me, and I was almost entirely plant-based, and I suffered because of it. And there's a double standard out there. Vegans, it's okay for them to say, I will never eat meat again. But I, as a carnivore, have said before, I will never eat plants again. And even other carnivores attacked me, and they said, that's way too extreme. Why is there a double standard? I suffered horribly with depression and mental health issues and obesity, IBS, arthritis, because of the foods I was eating because I was told meat was so bad for me. I want to get the truth out there, and I want to get to the bottom of it, and I do believe there are some significant dangers with plants and vegetables that get a complete pass, and I want to talk about that today with these experts.
Every time you eat a salad, you're eating pesticides and herbicides.
70 million birds die per year, per the EPA. You can look that up and Google it. Look it up right now. From pesticide poisoning on vegetables.
So if you're going to go, if you think a carrot is going to be good for you, and you grow it in soils that have been mined for 150 years.
There is absolutely nothing that you have to have, nothing. There's nothing in plants or fungus that you have to have that you cannot get from meat. But there are things in meat that you have to have that you cannot get from plants.
It's literally crunchy water.
Yeah.
With some glyphosate.
And I will never in my life eat another fruit or vegetable. Prior to doing carnivore, I ate a salad for lunch, a salad for dinner, and I have a little bit of protein. And I had arthritis in my back, in my elbows, in my foot so bad I was going around on a mobility scooter. I could barely walk. I had IBS. I was farting 500 times a day.
A thing that people don't understand, they're like, well, plant-based versus, you know, carnivore. I'm just eating a regular diet. I'm not trying to be. Well, the average American, they don't realize it, but they're eating a predominantly plant-based diet. You get up, you have cereal or a cereal bar or a shake of some type, plant-based. Then you sit down at lunch and you have your quinoa and your big salad and your this, that. It's plant-based. Then you sit down at dinner and you might have a little piece of fish or a little piece of chicken, but then you have three vegetables and a dessert. Plant-based.
The fossil record is very clear. Right before we switched to agriculture and directly after, there was a sharp decline in height, brain size by 11%, right? We dropped 5 inches. Our brain shrank by 11%. We started getting shorter femurs, which is a sign of malnutrition.
The average American, 70% of their food intake is plants, plant-based. And yeah, sugar, guess what? Sugar comes from a plant. Who knew? Guess what? Wheat, rice, oats, and corn, they're plants.
There is absolutely nothing that you have to have, nothing. There's nothing in plants or fungus that you have to have that you cannot get from meat. But there are things in meat that you have to have that you cannot get from plants. And while there are some good things you can get from plants, depending on the plant, it comes with, you get the bad with the good. And so, look, if you're starving, sure. So this is survival food. You know, this is what the poor would eat historically for thousands of years. We need fat and protein too. That's what runs the animal kingdom. We can't turn plants into fat and protein very well.
There are systems, very powerful systems. If you eat a lot of protein, it activates a hormone called peptide YY, which tells you to stop eating. If you eat a lot of dietary fat, you activate a hormone called cholecystokinin, which again tells you to stop eating. You eat a giant steak, so you're activating all these satiety hormones, peptide YY, cholecystokinin. You're eating all this food. Well, you may not be hungry for the next day. If you eat pure carbohydrate instead of eating it with, you know, proteins and fats, it's going to shoot way high. That's unnatural. And that's going to overcome the natural tendencies for you to stop eating. So, you've basically overcome that protective mechanism because you've ultra processed the carbohydrates. If you don't eat any protein, if you don't eat any fat, you're not activating peptide YY, which is the satiety hormone. You're not activating cholecystokinin. All of a sudden, you're eating, 500 calories of white bread, but you have zero satiety and don't feel full at all. Whereas if you took a steak that's 1,000 calories, you'd be like, I'm pretty full. I don't really feel like eating. You drink the soda, you're like, I really feel like eating some chips or popcorn or something. Why? Because it has zero satiety.
So one of the things that stood out here from Dr. Fong and Dr. Chafee is that humans need fats and proteins in order to feel full. Without those and with just empty carbohydrates, we don't get full. And therefore, the majority of humanity you look out in public right now, they're continuously eating because they're hungrier and hungrier and hungrier because they're not giving their body what it needs, the fat and the proteins.
I try to get most of my beef from my neighbors. It's grass-fed, regenerative farming. The cows eat the grass. The cows poop. The poop fertilizes the soil. The soil grows more grass. The cow's stomachs are amazing. They're able to pull all the nutrients out of that grass, and it's regenerative. It's the most natural thing that has happened since the start of time.
It's actually animals that make the environment fertile. So this is what fertilizer is. This is the defecation and urination and respiration of animals, and this recycles nutrients so that plants can have more available, that there's more available in the ground, in the soil, and that you can have more plants. When animals leave an area, that area turns to desert across the world. This has happened again and again and again.
150 years of mining your soil, what do you think is left? So if you're going to go, if you think a carrot is going to be good for you, and you grow it in soils that have been mined for 150 years, now there's no more selenium, there's no more zinc, there's no more copper, there's no more of these fine things. You put chemical fertilizers back in because you don't have any animals, you don't have any manure to put back on there. So you're putting nitrogen, phosphorus, and potash, and maybe a little sulfur. Okay, that'll help the crop grow and look nice and green, and the carrot will look beautiful. And the green on top of it will look beautiful, but there's no trace minerals left in there because it's not in the soil. Go back to your grade 5 chemistry. Minerals are neither created nor destroyed. Go to the periodic table. None of those things are going to come out of thin air. They don't come down in the rain.
When we filmed Rancher Maggie, a carnivore now at 82 years of age, she's been eating the proper human diet for 65 years. She gave us a masterclass on soil and the importance of nutrients in the soil. And sure, you can go to the grocery store and get a carrot or get some lettuce, but what is the nutritional makeup of that carrot or lettuce? And unfortunately, these days, it's almost non-existent. The soil is depleted of all of its nutrients. We've demonized meat. And therefore, there's not cows going on there and pooping and fertilizing the soil and regenerating it. If we allowed that to happen, what's happened since the start of time, just let nature play out. It's one of the most natural things in the world. We would have lush green fields everywhere. I am so fortunate and blessed down the road from me. I get my grass-fed beef. I showed you the cows earlier in this video. Beautiful green grass fertilized naturally from the cows like it should be. We've gotten so far away from that, it's a very dangerous thing.
People don't realize what it takes to grow vegetables. They think they know. They think, oh, I'll just put a seed in the ground and it will grow. No, that's not how it works. You have to amend the soil. Right now, you want to grow something. There's so many chemicals and fertilizers and a thing called blood meal and a thing called bone meal. These vegan people or plant-based people that have this attitude of, I'm better than everyone because I'm eating fruits and vegetables, is the furthest thing from the truth. The amount of death and destruction that has to happen for a vegan to eat their salad with a multitude of different vegetables in it is insane. And to just think that, oh, I am so compassionate, my heart's in the right place, and you're just an evil person killing all these animals so you can eat your meat. You have blood on your hands. I get this comment all the time from people. It's the furthest thing from the truth. 70 million birds die per year, per the EPA. You can look that up and Google it. Look it up right now. From pesticide poisoning on vegetables. The amount of destruction it requires to grow vegetables is incalculable.
I think one of the most absurd positions anyone can take is they're a vegan for an ethical reason. It's preposterous. And the reason I say that is I have plowed a field. It is carnage. It is 12 feet of carnage. And every single plant that you eat is going to be tilled into the ground in some capacity. So you're going to kill everything.
If you want to kill the most things, mm-hmm. become a vegan. Well, what about the lives of the ground nesting birds, fawns?
Yeah.
What about the lives of rodents, insects? All those things are getting demolished.
The average organic avocado farm in Central California is going to kill, on average, around 19,000 ground squirrels a year. That's not counting the billions of bees. They're going to spray the trees. They're going to kill every bug, every plant, everything. All you got to do is drive I-5 through the San Joaquin Valley, and you won't see. You'll see plenty of almonds. You'll see plenty of all these different groves. You won't see any birds.
Yeah, that's a hard pill for a lot of people to swallow that think they're doing something that's ethically correct.
Well, if you look anywhere in the ecosystem, take man out of it. Virtually everything is living at the expense of another organism.
Monocropping, like just tearing the soil up, putting all sorts of chemicals and fertilizers in the ground just to try to get something to grow. Pesticides sprayed over by an airplane on top of these vegetables. 70 million birds die a year. That doesn't count all the deer, squirrel, fox, rabbit. That doesn't count the billions and billions of insects that die from that as well. But that's just fine. We won't count any of that. Meanwhile, what died for me? One cow.
So vegetables and plants are dangerous, deadly to animals and to ecosystems and to all of those downstream effects. And it's something that just gets completely overlooked. It is so far away from what is natural and very dangerous, and something I think we need to pay some more attention to.
When you take sugar and wheat, rice, oats, and corn, and then the vegetable seed oils, comes from plants, you remove all that from the average American's diet, you've removed 70 to 80% of the food that they eat every day.
Mm.
They're already eating plant-based.
Right.
And that's what's causing the problem, is the plant-based diet.
Quick interruption. Huge thank you to Dr. Ken Berry, Dr. Anthony Chafee, Maggie, and others that were in this video. We are filming a documentary called Healing Humanity, The Power of a Proper Human Diet, where we share the real stories of individuals going on a proper human diet over the course of a year to overcome depression, anxiety, obesity, type 2 diabetes, women's health issues, and so on. And we've made great progress. We just filmed Dr. Ken Berry, and we're trying to raise funds to continue filming the entirety of the documentary. Our goal is to reach millions of people with this story. So if you're interested in donating, please visit healinghumanity.movie. We have our Redmond's portable salt shakers. We're selling t-shirts. Every penny I get from memberships, super chats, super stickers, and GoFundMe donations go 100% towards this documentary. It is a passion project for me. I'm not going to stop until we reach millions. Now back to Dr. Ken Berry.
Sugar's plant-based. Grains are plant-based. Vegetable seed oils are plant-based. Remove those three things and 80% of the population starts to get metabolically healthier immediately because you remove those three plants.
Hmm. I was like, yes, it just makes sense. It just makes so much sense. I did a video a while ago where I said, I'm never eating plants again. I wasn't trying to be extreme, but just for all the reasons you mentioned. But also when you account for pesticides.
Right.
And now I've just heard most pesticides have forever chemicals in them. As if the pesticides weren't bad enough. And then I was thinking, what did I used to do before, Dr. Barry?
There's this social norm. You got to have your vegetables. They're so good for you. People say, Carrie, I could never do carnivore like you. I got to have my salad. I got to have my vegetables. It's just so good for you. It's so good for you. I laugh and I joke and I make fun. What is so good for you about a salad? People don't even like salads. They like the dressing, which is full of seed oils, which is horrible for you. They like the cheese. They like the croutons. If you like the salad, then go get a head of lettuce and eat it and tell me you like that.
If you look at just the lettuce, what is that, like 14 calories? Like,
it's literally crunchy water.
Yeah.
With some glyphosate.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Antibiotics in your stomach.
Yeah. Every time you eat a salad, you're eating pesticides and herbicides. Every single time you eat a bowl of cereal, you're eating glyphosate.
Yeah.
100% of the time. It is inarguable. Multiple studies have just taken random boxes of cereal from random grocery stores, glyphosate every time. When they harvest oats, they douse them with glyphosate to get it to desiccate quicker so that it saves money when they get to the factory. They don't wash that off.
And, oh, there's pesticides on it. What does pesticide mean? Can we talk about that for a second? Homicide, suicide, herbicide, pesticide. If the word ends in side, that means death. They're spraying death all over these vegetables and plants that humans are then consuming. But it's okay because we take that little strawberry, right? And we're going to put it under the sink and we're going to sprinkle some water on it. And that's going to get rid of all of the death and pesticide chemical poisoning that's in it. Are you serious? People tell themselves that and then they feel better. You don't think any of that poison permeated into the interior of that fruit? Really?
They don't wash that off. Where does it go? It goes in your breakfast bowl. That's where it goes. And then you eat it. And then we all wonder why we're getting sicker and sicker.
I've seen all these studies too about glyphosate breaking, causing leaky gut, breaking the blood-brain barrier, leading to all sorts of issues.
What do you say to people who claim that glyphosate isn't an issue?
Glyphosate's everywhere. Glyphosate's in 85% of the rainfall. It's in 85% of the air we breathe. It's in every water river system in the world. It's simply in your daily life. Glyphosate everywhere is the real underpinnings of the chronic disease epidemic we sit in, from lymphomas, leukemias, and the like, all the way to bladder cancer, thyroid cancer, liver cancers, all of those directly related to the amount of Roundup residues within our food and water systems. We're pouring about 4 billion pounds of this stuff into the global soils every year. It's an astonishing amount of toxicity. And for the action of that chemical, we're sterilizing the soils of the earth, but also the soil within our gut.
Pesticides, herbicides, glyphosate, it just all gets a pass, and that just blows my mind. There's been many, many studies where they take these fruits and vegetables and they extract the juices out of them and they analyze them and they're full of pesticides. I don't think anyone disagrees. Even if you wash it off under the sink, there's still pesticides inside of those fruits and vegetables, and we're consuming them. It's a slow poison. Is a slow poison dangerous? In my opinion, yes. I would rather have no poison than a slow poison. Let's say you find a head of lettuce that isn't riddled with pesticides, herbicides, and glyphosate. That's a good first step. Now, let's say also that same head of lettuce was grown in soil that has some nutrients in it still. Most of the soil around the world has to be amended with all sorts of chemicals and fertilizers and things like that because nothing will grow anymore because we've demonized meat. So now you've met these two criteria. There's no pesticides, herbicides, glyphosate, and you grew it in soil where there's actually some nutrients going back into that head of lettuce. How many calories are in that head of lettuce? Prior to doing carnivore, I was exhausted and fatigued all the time. Most of America, most of the world on the standard American diet is tired and fatigued all the time. Why is that? I realize why now, because I have excess energy as a carnivore. It takes an incredible amount of energy to process all of that food. And before, I would eat like an apple in the morning. 2 hours later, I'm hungry again. Okay, I'll have a granola bar. 2 hours later, I'm hungry again. Imagine the amount of energy it takes my digestive system to process all of that food. My stomach, my intestines, my colon, my bladder. Every 2 hours, work, 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 work. Of course I was fatigued. Of course I was tired before. How much nutrition, how much calories, how much energy am I getting from a head of lettuce, from the salad that's so healthy? Is it even enough to offset the amount of energy it just takes my stomach to process that food, let alone my entire digestive system? Okay, add some carrots, add some cucumbers on there. Still, we're talking about very little energy in these food items, requiring a ton of energy in your body. And what is the problem? As Dr. Fung said earlier, you're not getting fat and you're not getting protein when you're eating a salad, and therefore you're not getting full, and then you're hungry again, and then it requires more energy to process it. So for me, it doesn't make any sense. The math just doesn't add up.
A big argument against carnivore is it's so cruel for animals. It's inhumane.
Right. So I think everybody, all of us, we have a line that we won't cross of what we will eat and what we will not when it comes to animals. I will not eat another human. That's a line. I will not eat any primate. They're too close to home. I would feel like that was unethical. I will not eat a true dolphin. They're too smart. It leaves a bad taste in my mouth. I would not eat an octopus. They're too freaky smart, right? And I've almost come to the conclusion that there's many birds like crows that they're too smart.
Right.
I feel like for me, it's unethical to eat them because I respect their intelligence too much. All of us have this line where, no, I will not eat that animal. We all have that line.
Right.
Even carnivores. You're not going to eat another person. Right? That's an animal. Right. You're not going to do that. That's unethical. We all have that ethical line. What I think vegans, where they go wrong, is they've moved the line too far.
Mm.
And that line is movable, right? Most vegans used to eat meat.
Yeah.
They didn't die. They didn't commit suicide because of the unethical nature of what they'd done. I think that and part of the problem is that the vegan movement go after young people.
Mm.
They go after children. They go after teenagers,
right?
Now, I can remember when I was 5 or 6 years old going to my great-grandmother's house, and she took a chicken out in the backyard and chopped its head off with a hatchet for dinner. I was destroyed.
Mm.
I was not mature enough to be able to handle that, right? Did that make what my grandmother did unethical or wrong or mean or cruel? No, that's the circle of life. That's how every animal eats. That's how you do it.
Right.
You harvest another animal and eat that animal. But I was too young. I was too immature. I didn't understand like I do as an adult. And I think that's why the vegans go after kids and teenagers. It's because they know that they're emotionally immature, that if they show them some video of a cow being slaughtered or a pig being harvested, oh, it breaks their heart. Yeah, it breaks their heart because they're a little kid. Mm. They don't know better yet. They don't understand how the world works. There's a scripture, isn't there, about when you grow up and become a man, you put away childish things. But the vegans, the vegan influencers, they want to arrest the development of kids and teenagers. They want to basically keep them perpetual children, thinking that these things that we have to do that's just part of living life as the species that we are, that's mean, that's cruel. No, it's not. If done properly, it is part of our heritage. It's something that you should be proud of and something that I've grown now to be proud of, that I know how to harvest one of the sheep in the pasture and feed my family with that. That's not cruel. That's not unethical. That's not immoral. But if you catch somebody young enough and you plant that seed, oh, that's it. That's terrible. That's sinful. Then there's a good chance that that'll go with them the rest of their life, or at least as long until they become sick eating a vegan diet, and they have to then come face to face with that moral quandary. So you're telling me that I'm going to have to basically commit a sin to eat a food that's what's going to give me my health back? And people shouldn't be put into that moral quandary. We should be teaching kids early. We are human beings. Human beings eat meat. Mm-hmm. They eat seafood. They eat fish. They eat other animals. That's what we do. That's the species we are. Just like it's not unethical for the lion to capture the gazelle. That's not a sin. that's his life. That's what he has to do if he's going to stay healthy and reproduce. We're in the same boat. You cannot say that that proper human diet food is unethical to eat, or you've crippled our species for generations to come.
Right.
Does that make sense? Everybody has their ethical line. I'm just afraid that many vegans have been misled into putting that ethical line way further to one side than they should.
Yeah.
There absolutely are animals you shouldn't eat. But you can't say, I'm not going to eat any animals, mm-hmm. or your health is going to suffer.
Yeah. I love that you said that, because I went through this with my daughter, who was vegan for several years. She watched a documentary or something, and she saw exactly what you said, and she was young. And I feel for the vegans because they have big hearts.
Yeah.
But the truth matters. And the truth is, there's a food chain. There's a circle of life. If you want to live on this earth, if you're vegan or not, other things are going to die. It's like, come on. You gotta learn that truth and understand it.
Absolutely. And yeah, does it need to be done properly? Does it need to be done ethically? Yes, 100%. Do we need to be mistreating animals? 100% no. Am I a big advocate of the CAFO feedlot mistreatment of animals? Hell no. I'll be glad when it's outlawed. But we can't do it now because we've got millions of people to feed.
Right.
But we all can be shopping locally. We can be finding a local rancher, a local source of eggs, a local source of seafood, and breaking the feedlot model one person at a time. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you can't just close down all the feedlots.
Right.
Millions of people would starve. Yeah. Of course we're not going to do that. But we can slowly transition away from that model to a model that is regenerative, that is sustainable, that encourages local economies, local farmers, local ranchers. Who doesn't like that as a goal? There's something wrong with you if you don't want to have a local rancher right down the road and a local farmer right down the road. That should be something you want, not something that you're fighting against.
It feels like I keep having these carnivore epiphanies after a while, like, oh, this is so clear now. Why didn't I see this before? One of them is it's just like, we've escaped as humans so far away from what is natural for us.
Yeah.
You're so good at simplifying things. Is it fair to say that's kind of the biggest problem humans have now, is we're just getting further and further away from what's natural? We're getting sicker and sicker? Yeah,
and it's because that we're in love with technology. We have been in love with technology since that first dude cracked two rocks together and one of them broke apart. We love coming up with new things, and that's great when it comes to all the technology that we can use, right? But you have to understand your food is different. Your food has to be the food that your DNA is looking for. The food has to be the food that your DNA is used to, that is not going to cause inflammation in your body, that's going to give you all the nutrition that you need. That there's nothing that you can make in a modern factory that's going to give you that. And there never will be. Right? They're investing billions in trying to come up with artificial meat. Who thinks that they're ever going to be able to replicate the nutrient density that's in real meat? Never, never. Now, they'll be able to mimic the taste, the flavor. Eventually, you probably won't even be able to tell the difference. But if you look at the nutrition profile, it will never be the same. Just like if they said, oh, you've got to stop breathing air, we're going to start selling you these canisters. Of we've created this air and it's better for you. Who wouldn't be like, what the hell? Right. I'm not breathing that factory made air. I want to breathe clean air that the factory hasn't polluted. I want to drink clean, pure water that doesn't have all the forever chemicals and the glyphosate and all the other crap that you guys have put in the water, making pharmaceuticals and making food. I want pure water. I want pure air, and I want real human food. When you look at it through that lens, that although this shirt is modern, these shoes are modern, this sole, I don't even know how they made the sole of this shoe, that I can walk hundreds of miles and it still look like new. That's cool. That's fine. Nothing wrong with that. But when it comes to the food you eat and the water you drink and the air you breathe and the style of life you live, you've got to mimic what we've been doing on this planet for a long damn time, if what you're looking for is optimal physical and mental health. It's just that simple. You cannot supplement your way around it. You can't chemical your way around it. You can't technology your way around that. You've got to breathe air, drink water, and eat meat, or you're not going to be the best you could be.
One thing I say in a lot of my videos is you watching this deserve to live one day feeling what it feels like. Like you feel every day with no inflammation, no brain fog.
If I could go back in time to my 35-year-old self, and so I would literally say, dumbass, stop eating that crap. Stop drinking that crap. You're literally causing the symptoms, the aches, the pains, the inflammation. And then you at 35, you're a young buck and you're saying, oh, I'm just getting older. I would probably lay hands on my 35-year-old self. Right. I would probably put hands on him and say, well, I thought you were smart. You're a doctor and you're this stupid. Stop that immediately. Yeah. Yeah. It would probably be ugly. I would probably have myself arrested for assault and battery because I would put hands on myself for being such an idiot.
You'd need a doctor.
In conclusion, the point of this video, the overarching point of this video is whether you're vegan or whether you're carnivore, whatever you may be doing, we need to return to what is natural. The further we get away from what is natural, the sicker we're getting as humans. I don't think anyone can argue that. I'm not trying to argue with vegans or say one is better than the other. For me, it is meat. It's the best thing I can do. And I don't support factory farming and these large feedlots and things like that. People will come at me with that. What I'm advocating for is grass-fed, grass-finished, locally raised beef, natural, like the cows I have down the road. I realize I'm very fortunate and blessed to have that, but a lot of people have that. They're just not looking for it. My good friend JT lives in Milwaukee. Who would have thought? He Googled grass-fed, grass-finished beef. He found 30 different local farms within a half-hour drive of his home. He goes and he stocks up and he gets the meat. That is what I'm advocating for. And I also want people to realize there are dangers with the standard American diet, which is primarily plant-based. There are dangers eating pesticides and these slow poisons we're consuming and just acting like they're not within the interior of these fruits and vegetables we're eating. There's huge dangers with glyphosate. There's huge dangers when we're living in a world where the soil is being depleted and barren because meat is demonized. If people would have their way, we would have no more cows and no more meat, and we would be living in a desert. When the cows are allowed to do what they naturally do, we have lush, green, natural fields. It's the most natural thing. My overarching message with this video is we need to return to what is natural. For me, that is the proper human diet, the carnivore version, eating locally raised, grass-fed, grass-finished beef. The animals have a good and healthy life. If you want to be alive in this world, something else is going to die. It's just the food chain. How can we do it most compassionately? And the answer for me is doing what is most natural. And for me, that's not chemically creating, fertilizing, pesticide, glyphosating plants, transporting them all around the world, and then eating them when they have just a fraction of the nutrition I can get from the most nutritionally dense food on the world, and that is meat. That's my decision. I'm not telling you what to do. I got a lot of comments on the last video too. If you're growing your own produce, your own plants, your own fruits, your vegetables, go right for it. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm not judging you. I'm simply trying to get the truth out there, because the truth I've been told my whole life is meat is going to kill you and it's so bad for you. And my only alternative was to eat plants and processed food, and which leads to the standard American diet and led to a lifetime of sickness and suffering for me. And I'm seeing it happening for so many others out there. I'm simply trying to get the truth out there. Return to what is natural. Whatever is ailing you or hurting you in this world, if you're suffering, I can almost guarantee the root cause of that suffering is humanity's departure from what is natural.
Thank you so much for coming here today. Thank you for everything you're doing.
Oh, man.
I get so many comments on my channel about how you've changed so many people's lives.
I love what you're doing. Don't ever stop.
The world needs more Dr. Barry. So thank you so much.
Thank you, man. Thank
you. Awesome.